Okay, we're picking up 15 lines from Testament Aleph, the top of Testament Aleph, more towards the middle of the Amud, with the words of Amar Rabbi Parnach, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So we had discussed that the celebration took place 7 days prior to Sukkot. It was the celebration and dedication of the Beis HaMikdash during the time of Shlomo. And so the Gemara now points out that those 7 days, so 7 days before Sukkot, included in those 7 days, is Yom Kippur. In that year of Yom Kippur, as part of the celebration of the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash, it must have included food and drink, and they had eaten and drank during those 7 days prior, including that was Yom Kippur. They didn't fast Yom Kippur that year. I'm sure a lot of people, if they lived during that time, were probably, they were happy. However, they were dogging. That the fact that they had eaten Yom Kippur, they thought maybe this is a Lashon Saginon, is a euphemism. So Nam Shreya always refers to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael deserved to be destroyed. Why Dafka could be destroyed? Because we know that violating the eating on Yom Kippur would be Chayv Karis. And Karis means that you're going to be cut off. That means you're going to be cut off. So maybe the whole people who ate, which is all of Klal Yisrael, maybe they should be punished. Yatzis Abasko v'Amrelam, so a heavenly voice came out from Shemayim and said, "Kul lachem muzamnim lachayim lavaba." No, don't worry. Everything's going to, you're going to go to Korban. You're going to have go to Olam Haba. So the Gemara says, "My darsh." So how did they learn that they were allowed to eat? Amru kavu chomer. They had a kavu chomer. Mishkan she'en kedushas olam. The Mishkan, which is not everlasting, because we know that the Mishkan, all the while that the Mishkan existed, there were bamos. However, it wasn't kedushas olam because as soon as the Mishkan was destroyed, then there was no longer going to be any din of kedusha there. So there was nothing there. However, korban yachid and also is in kedushas olam korban yachid docha shabbos de isra skila. And a person was allowed to bring a private korban. Normally, a private korban is something which you're not allowed to bring on Shabbos, and it would be an Isser Daraisa to do so, an Isser Skila. However, they brought a korban yachid. The Gemara is going to mention which is the korban yachid. Docha Shabbos, Isser Skila, Mikdash, the Kedusha, Kedushas Olam, and Mikdash, which is a stronger Kedusha because the Bamos lasted forever, as long, even after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it was everlasting. So the Beis HaMikdash, it was offered to offer private korbanos, even when anywhere the Beis HaMikdash was chal. And also, more than that, there were times during the Mishkan itself that the Mishkan was permitted to bamos if it didn't have permanent walls. So the Mishkan wasn't an everlasting kedusha. So the Gemara says v'korban tzibor, and there where you're bringing a korban tzibor, where it says specifically v'chol Yisrael ima, this implies that all of Klal Yisrael brought in korban at the time of the dedication of Beis HaMikdash. V'yom Kippurim de anash karis, and dealing with Yom Kippur, which is only an Isra karis in comparison to the Isra skila of Shabbos, which is much more chamer to get the death penalty, is a much chamer thing in the world. Lo kol shekin, so isn't that a kal v'chomer that should override Yom Kippur? Since again, karis is not as severe as the punishment of misa of skila, so then it's going to be a kal v'chomer that you should be allowed to uproot the mitzvah, the iser of skila, in order when you're uprooting the mitzvah of skila, which is more kol shekin, you should be allowed to do that. The question can answer. The Gemara on Daf Dalet told us that Gzeira Shava does not have the power to override a pshuto shel mikra of the pasuk itself, the pshuto shel mikra maybe, but not the pasuk itself. However, so why don't we ask the kal v'chomer is uprooting the din of eating on Yom Kippur? So you could say it's not really comparable, because the Gemara is saying that the Gzeira Shava is going to completely uproot the Isser altogether. However, here in the case of Yom Kippur, this is Rashi Ksav Yad asks this kasha. So, however, over here, they knew that the future years, the very next year even, they're going to start keeping Yom Kippur. So it wasn't totally uprooting it. It was uprooting it as a temporary basis, that you are allowed to have a kal v'chomer that would uproot it for a temporary basis. So Gemara says now, Ela Amaya Yudogim. So then, if that's good, such a good kal v'chomer, so then why were they even afraid that they had done anything wrong? So the Gemara says, because Hasam Tzarach Gavoah. There, in the case of dedication of the Mishkan, you could argue that the korbanos are there because they're considered a Tzarach Gavoah. They're considered something which is a korban, which is meant for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. However, Hacha Tzarach Hedyot, by the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash, which involved eating and drinking, that was only for your own enjoyment. It was for the people. That maybe does not override Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, Hachanami Mavid Le'avdir. So here too, by dedication of the Beis HaMikdash, let them just have it rejoice. They don't have to eat and drink. Who said they have to eat and drink to have simcha? So Gemara says no, because ain simcha ela below chila v'shtiyah, because there's no real simcha without eating and drinking. It's going to not be at the same level of simcha. You know, that's a famous joke, but it has amkas to it. Is that like we are almost killed, we're saved, let's eat. But obviously the kedusha sachila is obviously is not to be blowing on that. The kedusha sachila is part of the simcha. We know in Chol Moed we're going to see later about ain kedusha ela b'basra and kedusha ela b'yayin. The fact that we eat the gashmias is part of the tzorach of the ruchnias also that brings together, the shiluv, it brings them together, and that's part of the simcha, that's part of the happiness. So here, also, That in Simcha B'Lachil B'Shtira, when you were dedicating the Beis HaMikdash, each day needed and necessitated the fact that you're supposed to be eating. So the Gemara says, now fine, so how do you know that the Mishkan was Dilcha Shabbos? Now, Mishkan Dilcha Shabbos Minalan, where do I know that there was any thing that overrided Hilcha Shabbos in regards to the Mishkan? By the Karbanos and the Nesim, each day it says by Yom Rishon, right? Now see, right? So we have those Yishon by Yom Hashvi. We have Yom Hashvi also is one. So maybe the seventh one. Who is the one who brought on the seventh day? Pasha is by Yom Rishon. The seventh day is the seventh one is a Shabbos. So Gemara says, no, that's not a good raya. Though Dilma Shvi le Karbanos. Maybe it only meant the seventh day when you're bringing a korban. They really skipped Shabbos. Obviously, they didn't bring a korban yachid. You're not because you're not allowed to bring a korban yachid on Shabbos. So therefore, maybe they didn't bring the korban yachid on Shabbos. The Gemara says. Amar of Nachman bar Yitzchak, Amar Kra Bayom Ashtei Asar Yom. The pasuk says on the 11th day. What is the fact that it says Ashtei Asar Yom? Just say Bayom Ashtei Asar. Why do you have to say Yom? The second Yom is coming to teach you another halacha. My Yom Kularatzuf, just as a single day by its definition must be consecutive. Ashtei Asar Yom Kularatzuf, and so too all 11 days, which all the Nesim are bringing in their korbanos up until that point, must have been consecutive with no break in between them, and therefore there must have been a korban brought on the 7th day, which would have been Shabbos. The Gemara says, no, Dilma Yomimru, maybe it says, it just means the 11th day to the days of a consecutive, of bringing a korban, when you're able to bring a korban, which means not the Shabbos, not including Shabbos. So Gemara says, no, because Ksiva Kra Achrina, because we have another pasuk that says, Biyom Shneimasar Yom, which says this, on the 12th day also has lashon, extra lashon of Yom. Ma Yom Kula Ratzo, just as days are consecutive, Ashneimasar Yom Kula Tzuf, so too the 12 days must have been consecutive, and there was no break on Shabbos, it must be that they brought the korban on Shabbos. The Gemara says, no, but same thing, Dilma Achanami, Yamim Haru'uyin. Maybe here too we're talking about consecutive days, only the days which are going to be ra'oi, are fit and able to bring a private korban and not to Shabbos. And where it says, Im kein trei kra lamali. If that's the case, that both of the psukim are coming to include only days which are fit to bring a korban, why do I need two different psukim of Ashtei Asar Yom and Shnei Asar Yom, repeating the same exact thing twice? Elachora, there must be a different chiddush to be mentioned over here. So Gemara says now, Umikdash Shadocha Yom HaKippur Minalan, for where do we know that during the Mikdash, so that would, Im came trick Kalamani is an answer. The fact that we have two psukim coming to include the same Chiddush, I want to tell you the same thing, that they just mean consecutive, and the fact that they were Re'uyin to be consecutive, rather, it must mean that the two extra days were included in most of them, the Chiddush must be that one of them should have been Shabbos. That it must be had the Shabbos. So that's what we learned from the Mishkan, that a korban yachid is docha Shabbos. So zakta gemara now mitnas docha yom kippur minalan. How do I know that the during the time of the of mikdash that it was docha yom kippur? Elim and mitchsev, you're going to tell me that it's written arba'as ar yom. It says on the 14th day, which implies 14 straight days. Dilma yamin aruyim. How do I know? Maybe it means on the days which are fit to be brought on. How do we know it's brought on Kippur? How do we know that they were celebrated between 14 consecutive days, including Yom Kippur? So, because the Gemara says, because Gavar Yom Yom Me'asam, he learns that the Gzeirah Shavah Yom Yom. Again, that's with regards to the building of the one of them is Malachim Shlomo building the Beis Hamikdash. The other Yom is mentioned with regards to the Nesiim bringing the Karbanos. So we're saying that just like the Nesiim bringing the Karbanos, we just brought a proof that because it said Ashtei Asar Yom, and it meant clearly that was reported that it must have been Shabbos was included. So too over here, Shabbos must have been included. So Gemara says then. So Gemara Yom Me'asam, that's how they learned it out. So then Rabbi Yochanan said above that they had a heavenly voice. You guys are all get a world to come. So where do we know that Hashem forgave them? That it says, on the 8th day he let the people go, and they blessed the king. They left, and they were so happy in the goodness that Hashem had given them for David, is a servant of Klal Yisrael and his people. So they were happy. So we're now darshan says all that. Lo alayim doesn't mean they went back to their tents. Shal chumatan shem b'dara. They would literally to go back to their wives, right? Yeshuva lachem lo alayim is a similar lesson we have in Matan Torah. That Moshe Rabbeinu went. Moshe Rabbeinu was commanding to tell Klal Yisrael shuva lachem lo alayim that they should go back to their tents, which is lashon nikia for actually meaning their wives having relations with their wives because they were in a state of purity. So to avir means also they went back to their wives in a state of purity. They would have relations with them and be intimate with them. Smeichem doesn't mean that they were joyful. Shenayim mezivashchina means that they were. They were within basking in the divine presence, and v'tove levav, and they were happy. Shekol echad v'echad is arba yishtov ben zachar. They were able to have a child because the word tov is referenced to v'atera kitov. My Moshe Rabbeinu, some of the Rishonim bring this down, that it means tov. So tov means that by yar kitov must mean talking about like Moshe Rabbeinu that they had a baby boy. Al kol atova and everything that was good. Shiyatsa baska v'amar lehem. A heavenly voice came out and said, Kulchem mizaman mizumanin l'chayel amava. All of you guys are prepared, you're able to come for the world to come. Now the Gemara just analyzes, once we're mentioning this pasuk, we go to the last part of the verse. For David, a servant, and Israel, the people. Bishlam Israel Amo, so I get it. Israel Amo, the Achilu Avon Yom Kippurim, that Hashem is forgiving them. The Israel Amo, they were forgiven for the idea that we ate on Yom Kippur. Elad David Avdo Imai. So what does it mean that David Avdo? So this is a famous midrash. Number of Vinumarab, Shashabigit Shlomo Lachnes Aaron Mikdash, the time when Shlomo was ready to bring in the holy Aaron into the base of Mikdash. Davku Sharam Zelazeh, the Kodesh Kedashim, the gates of the Kodesh Kedashim miraculously had held onto one each other and they wouldn't be open. Nothing could open them. They were sealed tight. So what happened is Amar Shlomo Ezim Rabbi Rananos. Shlomo said 24 different forms of tefillah. As we have, it says there in the Pesukim in Malachim over there, it has different lashonos of tefillah, like Ranana, Tchina, different things over there. Those are mentioned, different forms of tefillah. We have 24 of them. Below none, yet he was not answered. The gates are made iron tight. They were iron tight. They were completely closed. Pasach ve'amar, so then he opened Su, Shar Mashechem, open up your heads. Below none, nothing was working. Kima Shemar Shem Elokim, Al Teshep, Bnei Mashichacha, Zachar Lechaste, David Abdecha. Hashem, don't turn away your face. And remember David, your servant. Miyan, and immediately it was like a miraculous thing. The gates opened up. That moment, the people who hated David, his enemies, his sworn enemies, like we know Shimi Ben Gera and the Mishpacha Shal, they really didn't like him. Their face turned dark. They were embarrassed, like the bottom of a pot, because that had been blackened by a fire, and it was dirty because they had been so embarrassed. Because of Kol Shemachalok Avon, because their whole time up until those points, David wasn't a tzaddik, he sinned, he's an avarian, and yet we see a Kadosh Baruch Hu who only b'schus David Melech was able to open the shaharim, and in front of everybody, that great miracle happens, everybody realizes it's chus David, and these people were embarrassed. So the Gemara now just quotes another point, Rabbi Yonasan ben Amasai, Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim, Tanu Parshas Nadarim Bei, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. They were learning by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Iftar Mineva Or, so they took leave of him in the nighttime, as they left, the Tzafran said, you're supposed to take leave of your Rabbi when you leave. In the morning, they had slept by, they weren't able to leave, as we're going to see. They must have slept that night in town. So they went back in the morning to go take leave of him again, because they weren't able to leave the city yet, so they went to take leave of him again. Amrali said to them, Vilafi Termine Borsi, already took leave of me last night. Why are you taking leave of me again? So the Gemara says, because Amrulele, Mataribina, because you told us yourself, Talmudch Nifta Rabba Vilambos are here. If a student takes leave of his teacher and then ends up staying that night again in the city, you must take leave of him a second time. It says on the 8th day, Shlomo let the people go, and they blessed the king, right? They gave him all bracha. And on the 8th day of Sukkot was the 22nd day of the month of Tishrei. That's when the 8th day falls out of on Shmini Atzeret. So Chesed Bayom Esrim Shlosha Lachodesh Shvi Shilach Hazam. And it says Nachamal on the 23rd day of the month, meaning the day after Shmini Atzeret, he took leave of them. Since the people already took leave of Shlomo on the 22nd, why are they taking leave of him again? So Ella, we learn from here, Mikana Talmud Iftam Rabo, Vilan Bosar Yir. If you have a student who takes leave of his Rebbe, his teacher, and he stays overnight in the same city, Tzarech Lipadr Menabav Acharis needs to take leave of him a second time when he is ready to depart. That's why the people took leave of Shlomo a second time, because they remained in Yerushalayim one more night, because of Shmini Atzeret, they remained there, and then they took leave of him only the next day. Amar Leila Breser, Shimon Baruch Hai told his son, Bnei Adam Malalu Anashim Shalturahem, these people are very big Talmid Chachamim, go get a bracha for them. Zil Gabayu Devarach, go get a bracha for them. Azosh Kenichud, the Karamu Kraya Dade, so then, while coming there, apparently they didn't notice him, and they saw that they were in the middle of learning, and they asked, Siv Palis, Me'agal Raglecha, Vaduchol Derechecha Yikainu, that it says that way, literally, your actions are your feet, and all the ways will be established. So this pasuk seems to imply that if a person has two mitzvahs in front of him, you should do the one that is greater of the two. You should be marech, which one is greater of the two. Although the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos famously says, have a zar b'mitzvah kala k'bachamura, so this just means that one doesn't know, because you don't know matan schara shel mitzvos, this means that only the mitzvos that are performed should be done with the same excitement, the same fervor, the same zrizus, all of those things should still apply by these mitzvahs. However, it does not mean that you, when choosing a mitzvah, then you should necessarily interrupt. So that's what we're learning from that, from over here, that you should really, before the mitzvah started, that if you have two mitzvahs in front of you, you should do the more chashuv one. Uchsev orech chayim pen tefales. It's written, the path of life you should weigh. This verse implies that this pasuk is implying to us that you shouldn't weigh two mitzvahs that you have in front of you to determine which one takes precedence. Rather, whatever mitzvah is coming before him, that's the one should be done first. Again, this only shayla seems to be when the actual mitzvah has not begun yet. If you started the mitzvah, then there's no shayla. Then you're going to have osik mitzvah, patam mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Here, when the pasuk is saying that that you should be palis magarachach adarchad yekaneir, that you should weigh the, what you're going to do, that implies the two mitzvahs. That's when it's referring to a mitzvah that can be performed by other people, and therefore, if it's able to be performed by other people, then you should leave the smaller one and go do the greater one to do. This applies again only if you do not begin the mitzvah yet. If you begin it, then you're going to be osig mitzvah avatar mitzvah. And the Ritva famously says in Sukkah, I believe the Ritva comes up. And the Ritva says over there that not only that, it's also mitzvah patur mitzvah. You do the second mitzvah, you aren't even chayav anymore. And therefore, you're doing like a dvar, a rishus, like a dvar mitzvah, and your mom is doing it like a second avira to do the second mitzvah. So that's by one mitzvah. However, turning on to Tesla Beis now, wherever, when the pasuk is saying, the second pasuk that we had quoted before, which says, Orech Chaim Pentefales, the path of life you have to weigh, implies that you shouldn't, meaning that the path of life, it's just every mitzvah, you should just do whatever comes to first. That's what talking about a mitzvah which cannot be done by others, or is not being, not necessarily cannot, but or is not being done by others. You know, when someone's not taking care of it, really, there's 10 people who could have taken care of the Levi or whatever, or doesn't done the burial, whatever it was, nobody was doing it. So you know nobody's doing it, then that's called, that it wasn't done, that's called Eif Shalas Yechem, nobody's doing it, tachlis, and you have to take care of it. It must be done as soon as whatever mitzvah is greater. So it just in Yad Yom, I saw a nice word about this, is that we just had in Parshas B'Shalach, last week's Parsha. So the kasha was that Moshe Rabbeinu was getting all his praise for taking out some of the Yosef Imo Kiyash B'Yash Rabbeinu as Ebn Yisrael. But Klal Yisrael was also doing a mitzvah. They were doing the mitzvah of the promise of Avram Avinu, that Kosh Baruch Hu promised Avram Avinu, the Yitzhak Rechush Gadol, that Klal Yisrael was going to leave Rechush Gadol. So why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu is getting praised so much, and he's getting praised for his mitzvah, when Klal Yisrael was also doing a mitzvah? So the thing is, where they say b'shem the altar nevardik. I think it was altar nevardik. They say b'shem him that when the test case to know which mitzvah is more chamas. We're seeing now when you're weighing two mitzvahs and you could do both. You should do the one that's more. They're both in front of you. They're both going to be taken care of. So, and you have the ability to do one or the other. So you should weigh. Which mitzvah is more chashuv. Now, how do I know which mitzvah is more chashuv? So altar nevardik is together a lot of times. So whichever one is harder to take care of. If it's easier to get the money, and to be rich as a mitzvah, what's a pretty wonderful mitzvah. It's like, having basar v'yayin and chol moed. If you enjoy basar v'yayin, it's two favorite foods. So that's a very, very easy mitzvah for you, k'ilu. So as opposed to other mitzvahs, are very hard. So that, a lot of times, that's how you can tell what the schar is. That it's a mitzvah based on effort. If it's very, very difficult for you, that's a good giveaway that there's going to be something which entails more schar by doing it. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu Dafka chose the harder mitzvah, not the one that had the reward as well involved with it. Okay, that's a very nice one-track answer to give. So now the Gemara is there. Hadar Yasef coming by. So again, they didn't notice, still, Rabbi Yonasai ben Amisai and Rabbi Yehuda ben Gera, they were discussing, they didn't realize that the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's son was waiting for them. So they said another talking and learning. The pasuk says in Mishlei also that the Torah is more precious than the pearls, and all the desires cannot compare to it. However, the chetzes shemaya, the mitzvahs would compare to Talmud Torah. That implies that a person has personal needs. Obviously, not as important as Torah study. However, if you have a performance of a mitzvah, you should put aside the Torah and do the mitzvah. However, it says elsewhere, no desires can compare to it. Nothing compares to it. Even doing other mitzvahs should not compare to the Talmud Torah. And that pasuk would indicate that you should not stop your Talmud Torah to learn. To do a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, kind of mitzvah she'efshar l'asusa yedeachirim. Where first a mitzvah can be performed by others, that you should stop your learning for. However, kind of mitzvah she'efshar l'asusa yedeachirim. If it's a mitzvah in which, it cannot be done by other people, you should not stop the mitzvah, and it should be something which you should take care of. It's very interesting though, Ramosha also just points out that what's defined by mitzvah or not can be performed by others is not enough. Again, this is Ramosha, what we pointed out earlier. It's not that it theoretically can be done by another person. Rather, it's talking about that they're actually tachlis taking care of this mitzvah. That's something which, at the end of the day, is defined as something which is done by other people. But it's also interesting because l'chor, there's another, the Rambam writes about Hilchos, and then let's just double check this, the halacha inside, but the person that osik mitzvah, patur min mitzvah applies to all the mitzvahs except Talmud Torah. That's the one exception, even though this is something which is Talmud Torah, can I get kulam as a schar, can I get all the mitzvahs, it's still something which osik mitzvah, patur min mitzvah doesn't apply to. You always do the mitzvah. Like you have Kriyat Shema, you have davening, whatever it is. You always stop your Talmud Torah to do that mitzvah. Because we say that someone who's not doing that, I think it's basically Yerushalmi, this lesson is that you're doing lilmud al-manasu l'asas, which is terrible. You're learning on behalf of not to do. So the Gemara over here implies that if someone else is able to do mitzvah, not a mitzvah shebegufo, then that mitzvah would not apply to you. I guess that's probably the answer, that when it comes to your own personal mitzvah, then it's considered a mutal upon you to do it, so you have to do it. However, it's a mitzvah just the rabbi have to take care of. Like, someone has to take care of the leviah, someone has to take care of the burial. So who says it has to be you? If other people are going to be ready, willing, and able to do it, so then who says you, who's learning Torah, have to be the one who has to do it? I guess that's a Torah, so just thought of it right now as I'm going through it. L'chor, that's the answer we have to give. So the Gemara says, Amru Leis, so he said, my boy, Sacha, what are you doing over here? Amru Leis, Damar Li Abba, my father, Rabbi Shimon Chai, told me to Zilkabai Chodavarach, go get a bracha from you guys, because you're holy people and you're big time in the Chachamim. Amru Leis, so they said to him, they said it should be your will of Hashem that you should plant and you shouldn't be able to have any reaping up from it. So you're going to plant and not have anything come of it. You should take in, not bring anything out. Bring in and not take in. Your house should be destroyed and the area where you live should be also not ushbizach. They're going to take it over. Your table should be disturbed. You shouldn't see a new year. So this is a very, perplexing comment, where he was so disturbed by this. So he said to his father, not only did it not give me a bracha, they gave me this horrible curse. I'm like, my Amrlai, what did they say to you? Rosh Hashanah, I was so surprised. What did they say to you? This is what they said to me. Amrlai, no, not kula brachas. They meant those disguised brachas in all of these words. Tizra v'lo tachta. So why did they have Dafka do this in a way that's disguising? So the Marsha, I think, gives it terrors. Or Marsha says, because they specifically said in this form, Shem Shem Bar Yochai will interpret it for them and then give Nacha Bracha. He's going to give a double Bracha. It's going to be a keflaim. He's going to have a double Bracha from the fact that Shem Bar Yochai is going to interpret the Bracha for them as well. So he says, Tizra v'lotesla, and they said you should plant, you're not going to be able to, you're not cutting off, tolid bani v'lotesla musa, that you're going to plant, you're going to have children, and they're not going to die. Tile v'lotpipuk, when they said you should take in and not bring out, them, and also a good thing, tile kalas, so you're going to bring in a daughter-in-law, v'lelemus b'naif t'alifkun, and your sons are not going to die, so you're going to have to take care of the daughter-in-laws, they're not going to go away. Tipuk v'lotail, when they said bring in and not take in, that meant, tolid bansa, you're going to have daughters who are going to marry, v'lelemus t'gavrayo lidra levasach, their husband will not die and should not cause her to return to you. That means it's not going to come back to you. That means your daughter's not going to come back to you because she'll be living with her husband the whole time. Your house should be destroyed and your area where you stay in also should be destroyed. That means also this world is compared to a temporary house and the next world is a permanent one. Imagine their house is forever. Altikri kirbam, don't say kirbam, is their imagination, rather ala kivram, their graves. This means over here that the bracha, the graves should be destroyed, that it should not die, and the graves should remain in use, because that's referring to lasting a long time. And that means that they're going to have olamaba, that's the house that we're referring to over here. The valvel psorach, your table should be ruined and disturbed. Bavnei Avanase, that they should have so many children there, and that's also young children usually disturb the table, that's not something new. And therefore, that's a bracha, you should be, besimcha, and you should enjoy your children and count your brachas when I'm giving myself this right now. You should count your brachas, when the children are ruining the table. Also, Baruch Hashem, there, you have children, it's amazing. V'lo teichzei shayte chalta, you should not see a new year. That meant, lo tamus intach, your wife should not die. As the Pasuk Rashi points out, the Pasuk says, Ki kach ishe chadasha lo yatzad. It's the chadasha, lashon of new, is reference to having a new wife. It means, you're not going to have to take a new wife because you're going to already be married to your own wife. Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta, if they're in the name of the Rav, so it's talking about people leaving each other, Rabbi Shimon Chalafta left Rav. Amar Leili Vrei, so Rav told his son, Zil de Gavad Dilvrach, go to him and get a bracha from him. Amar Leili, Rabbi Shimon went to him, and he said, Yereva de lo tivayesh velo tizbayesh. So you should be the will of Hashem that you shouldn't embarrass others, and others shouldn't be embarrassed by you. You shouldn't be embarrassed by others as well. So his father came back. Amar lei, my amar lach. What did he say to you? Amar lei, milin be'alma. Amar lei, just give me a regular standard bracha. He didn't say anything special. Amar lei, what did he say? Brichasim, brichasim. The kuchah bricha did that. He said a bracha that Klai. You're repeating a bracha that Kosh Baruch Hu gave Klai Yisrael. Dechsim, nechaltem achov asavel ve'altem Hashem lekecha ve'lo yishvul amin olam. V'yadatim give a kavi Yisraelani ve'lo yavush amin olam. It says specifically that Klai Yisrael are not going to be shamed, and also that the Hashem is not going to be shamed for them. That's a lot. The Hashem being embarrassed is a very big bracha Kosh Baruch Hu is giving to Klal Yisrael. We say this bracha in the Motzei Shabbos also, that this should be the case, that we shouldn't be shamed all week. Ve'osa isha tachshiteha, a woman also can make on, put on her jewelry and her whatever ornaments she has during Chol HaMoed. So the verse is Tanur, but we learn in the Braisa. Eloin tachshiteha, what are the things a woman is allowed to take care of? Kuchela, she's allowed to put paint on her eyes, a posekas, she can make like a braids, I think, or something, some sort of parting in her hair. Umavria srak alpaneh, she also puts this type of makeup, reddish makeup on her face. Vika d'amre, also some say maveris, some say srak, or sakin alpaneh shamata, she can have a razor over her parash hametah is a lashon nekiyah for a private part, that she can clean the area there from the hairs. Wife of Rechista was making herself beautiful in front of her daughter-in-law during Chalamayit. So the Gemara says, Yasif Rav Huda Chanina Kamei Rav Chista. Rav Huda Bar Chanina was sitting in front of Chista. Yasif Akamar Loshon Eliyada. This is a lacha that getting yourself all beautiful is referred to only a young woman. Aval Zikena, no, an elderly woman. What does she care? She's already like 85 years old. What does she care about getting dressed in all this makeup and all these things that she should be doing? Amar Leir Rav Chista Zatam Elakim like a Loshon Shvua. Vil Imach Vil Imach Devach. No, no, you, your mother would be way very older now. Even if you had a grandmother now alive, she's over 100 years old. And also, if Vilu Metas Akiv, even she's about to die, she's on the banks of getting of dying. So that woman, even that very old, she can put on makeup during Cholamai. Damar Insha, because people say Bashit Bashitin Kevashit Lekal Tavla Rasa. That is a six-year-old is like a 6-year-old that they run to the sound of Tavla Rasa, like bells ringing, and that means that they go to a wedding, that they're running to a wedding. For the fact that a 6-year-old runs for the music of a wedding, so too a 6-year-old does takes care of it. We see from there. And analogous is that she cares very much about her appearance also. She cares about how she looks, she cares how she goes to a wedding. That's also something which very much would bother her if she doesn't look good. Now the next part of the Mishnah said, Rabbi Yehuda Omer lo tasid, a woman should not apply lime to her skin because it's good later, but it's not good right now, Chol Moed. So Tana Rabbi Yehuda Omer isha lo tasid from nation nival lala. The woman shouldn't apply the lime to her skin because it's going to make her look very bad for that point. However, Rabbi Yehuda admits that with regards to a lime that can be peeled during Chalamayat, that she's allowed to apply it during Chalamayat. Although she is distressed about it right now, she's upset about it now, she's going to be happy when it is removed, so therefore, that's going to be permitted to be done after Chalamayat. So there, even though right now it's a little bit discomforting, it's still later it's going to make her happy. Immediately, Rabbi Yehuda is far, but does Rabbi really hold to this reasoning that something which causes pain now, but it's going to be happy later. Is that really okay? So Gemara says, that we later, this is Lachas of Odozara. The Mishnah of Odozara, the first Mishnah of Odozara tells us that are you allowed to accept the loan, the payment of a loan that you owed money to? So a non-Jew owed you $100,000 before their non-Jewish holiday. They're afraid that generally doing business with them and things like that, that they're going to be moded to their god, and we don't want them to be moded to their fake god that's in the Avodah Zarah during the time of their holidays. So can you accept payment from a loan that he owed you? Since right now he's going to be sad about it on his holiday, however, even though he's upset about it now, he's going to be happy about it after the time. He's going to be relieved that you've debated, and then he's going to remember this happened on that holiday, and he's going to attribute it to the Avodah Zarah. So therefore, we see from Rabbi Yehuda that he doesn't know the idea that you're happy about something later, therefore it's considered like you're happy about it now. He rejects this in Gunson from this principle over here. So how are we going to answer? Gemara's going to give, I think, two answers. Gemara's going to say, Amar Rabbi Nachman, Yetzel Kanach, Lehelchos Amoyed. Lehelchos Amoyed are different. Kulu, Mitzah Achshav, Yisameach Lachas Manu. That all those things which are permitted on Chol Moed, they're always things that we're going to be, that aren't so happy about now, however you're going to be happy with later. Like baking and cooking, that's also something Rashi points out. It's something that you're not happy about. It takes time. It's annoying. However, since it's going to be pretty much since it's giving joy at a later time when you're able to eat the food, even though let's say it's tomorrow's day of Chol Moed, you're still allowed to do the cooking because it's something which is giving you a simcha at a later time. So that's something that's also a lot of the malachas of Chol Moed are totally on that. So Gemara says, Ravina Amar Kusi Leinan Piran Olam Meitzar. So Ravina gives a different answer. Kusi here means also an Akob, someone who's an Avodah Zarah, who is because the censor they have to change is always Leinan Piran Olam Meitzar. That with regards to payment, he's always sad about it. He's always sad when he's paying. Even with later point, that's what Rabbi Yehuda understands. He disagrees fundamentally with the Chachamim, and he holds that's why it's permitted. However, something which you're sad about now, which you'll be happy about later, is fundamentally considered something which is happy about. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Benos Israel, Shegil, Pirkan, Jewish daughters who reach their age, which they are going to have hairs in their body, Veloi Gil Hashanah, yet not reach the age of which is common to show this. So then, Anil Stofos is on Besid, the getting rid of the hairs, they would take care of it, would move it by lime. Ashir Stofos is on Besoilas, they would get rid of it. Flour, Benos Melachim, Beshanon Amor, they would use it with fancy type of oil, of more oil. Shenemar Shisha Chadashim Beshanon Amor, this pasuk is in Esther, beauty treatments they would use before going to the king was 6 months and 6 months. My Shemon Amor, what is the Shemon Amor, the oil Amor? Amar Ravuna Berchia, Amar Satekas, rather. It's a satekas type of oil. Rabbi Yehuda, we know that is either. It's not really helping so much. Shemen Zayish Shalav Yishlish. That means an olive oil which hasn't attained a third. That's the special Shemen Amor. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer on Pelion Shemen Zayish Shalav Yishlish. And on Pikon rather. On this on Pikon, a Piknon, is a type of olive oil which hasn't reached one third of its ripeness. So why do people anoint themselves with them? Because they remove the hair and they leave the skin to grow nicely. Rav Havile Barta, Rav had a daughter. Tafla Ever, he smeared her with this lime, limb by limb, one limb at a time, and he put the skin on her and it made her very appealing. Shakal Arba Mezuzah, then they give $400, 400 zuz as his dowry, an extraordinary number, for Rabibi's daughter to use the treatment, and very much helped to get a very nice shidduch. So Havayahu Kusi B'Shavuch, it was either a goy or a kusi, something like that, a lot of times it means a goy, who's in the neighborhood. Tafla Barta, he also had a daughter. Tafla by Zimna, so she also, he put the lime on her face, so Mesa, she died. Amar Katla Leverti, so he said, Katla Bibi Leverti, Rav Bibi killed my daughter because I followed his treatment and she died from it. So Amar Rav Nachman said to this, that Rav Bibi Deshate Shikra, Rav Bibi drinks beer in his house all the time, Beinan Bante Tafla. His daughter requires this with lime. He knew the Matias, so you have to know exactly what's going on in the situation. Analoshin and Shiva, however, we don't drink beer in our house, so it's Labayin and Bante Tafla. Apparently, the way that the beer rubs off on the skin is a type of chemical reaction that would require this limestone. However, if anyone else, it'd be a severe danger for them to use it. And that's what Taka would happen over here. And this Kuti's daughter ended up dying from that. Because Bez Hashem will pick up with the hedges, the top of Daf, Yudam and Aleph. Well, that's Shabbos Daf. So I don't know, maybe I'll try to actually record it. I'm giving it on Shabbos. We'll see if I have time to be able to record it before Shabbos. If not, we'll pick up the recordings on Daf Yudam, Bez Hashem.